Welcome to Hope Is Here. I want to ask you, has your faith been shaken lately? Are you just starting to kind of have some doubts and wondering where God is? I mean, we just came off Easter recently, and yet all of a sudden life gets really hard, and we just start to kind of have doubts about Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection, and we've had all this great hope at Easter, but now all of a sudden life's gotten really hard, and seems like Easter was 6 months ago, and we wonder if God is still on his throne. Well, today we're going to be talking with Megan Jordan. She wrote an article that I read recently. It really spoke to me, and I think it'll speak to you if your faith's been kind of shaken lately. The title of her article was Practical Applications for When Your Faith is Shaken. Well, Megan, first question I just want to ask you is, why did you write this article? Was your faith shaken, or did you just see a lot of friends that were struggling with their faith? Or talk to us about why did you write this article?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. We had just come out of you could call it a Job 1 season, is really what it was. My youngest brother-in-law, he was 10, passed away from a chemo complication, and our finances were just hitting rock bottom. I was unemployed. I mean, it was when it rains, it pours kind of season. And so I knew what I believed, but I just needed to think outside of the box and figure out, how do I keep plowing this field? How do I keep going and get to the other side of the season? Because this season is not the end of this. And so that's where this article came from. It came out of that season once I got through it.
Well, I appreciate that. I think anybody that's listening, that's lived any time of, 25, 30 years or more, even teenagers these days, has gone through just really deep valleys. And that's when your faith becomes real. And I love the verse that you started the article with. We just came off of Easter, as I was talking about in our introduction, but you talked about Mark 15, verse 34, and it simply said, Jesus said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Elaborate a little bit on that.
Sure. I had read that verse, and I really started to think about why Jesus would say that verse, because he knew the Father, better than any of us. If anyone had a relationship, it was Jesus. And so I just started thinking about, he knows who the Father is. He knows everything about the Father. He knows every law, every decree. I mean, he knows the Bible inside and out, because Jesus is the Word. So he had all of that inside of him, and yet still voiced this emotional pain of feeling forsaken and feeling alone. And so that spoke to me that Jesus in human form felt those same emotions that we go through when we go through a really tough season. And, even Jesus felt the need to voice that emotional pain. And I'm sure there was a lot of physical pain, obviously, as well. But just the torment of feeling forsaken or rejected and alone. So if the Son of God can feel that, then certainly we feel that as well. He had the closest relationship, so it only makes sense that we would feel apart from him in times in our lives. So,
well, and I think that's a great point there, is that people think sometimes, man, why am I discouraged? Or why am I doubting God? We just came out of the Easter celebration recently, and yet all of a sudden I'm like, man, where is God? And I like this article, because what you talked about is, sometimes as Christians, it's not so much about what you know, because you know the truth.
Right.
You said this is about what you can do when your emotions don't match what your spirit knows. And that's a battle, isn't it?
Our
emotions and the spirit and God's
absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely. I mean, your spirit knows the truth. It knows everything that you believe, but it's sometimes your emotions try to overrule what you think you know, and that's a dangerous ground to be on. You don't want to make important decisions when you're in an emotional state, so you probably shouldn't decide what your faith is going to do when you're in an emotional state like that. You want to fall back on the foundations of what you know and use these applications to get yourself back where you know you should be. And that's really what this was all about, is inventive ways to get back to that foundation where you want to be, and your emotions just aren't catching up with you yet.
Well, and you give a lot of great scriptures in here. You talked about this lesson started, though, from you in a really small book in the Old Testament. Share about that.
Yeah, this year, the Lord has really been taking me on a journey of just being quieted by his love and what that means. I'm an extremely outgoing, loud kind of person that is sometimes just too quick to speak. You know, whatever I think is the right answer, I might spout out. And so he took me to this verse in Zephaniah 3:17 about quieting you with his love and what that looks like in my life and what it would look like for me to wait on his word first before I speak. And he had brought the phrase to me, if I'm not speaking, maybe you shouldn't yet. And it was a hard word for me to swallow, but...
Yeah, for us type A extroverts, yes! That's tough, isn't it?
It's hard. So I really spent this year trying, I want to really bury myself in who he is and what he says and follow Jesus's example of, you know, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it first. I don't say anything unless the Father says it first, and see how radically that changes my life this year.
Well, I love that. And that's a great, I think, word for somebody listening today. I know recently I had a friend that was going through a job interview process, and he asked me to pray for him. As I was praying for him, the verse in James came to me that said, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And yet, you know, he's in a job interview and obviously you're talking. And yet I started to text that to him and saying, yeah, man, I just prayed for you in that verse in James. I believe it's 1:19, but it's in James about being quick to listen and slow to speak. And then I just went on and sent it to him. And he said, you know, man, I received that, because he said, I know that I want to sell myself. Mm-hmm. And yet, if I'll be quick to listen and slow to speak, I may hear the questions better. And like you said, maybe the words that God wants me to say instead of my flesh doing that. And so I think that's a good word there for a lot of us, including me especially. Sometimes it's better to listen than speak. And I heard somebody say one time, you know, it's kind of interesting. God gave us two ears and one mouth. So maybe he's trying to say proportionately we should listen twice as much as we speak. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've just started, anytime I'm in a social situation where someone is venting or having a difficult situation, I just start internally telling myself that I'm counting on the promise that if I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. And I won't open my mouth until you give me something to say, because I don't want to lead someone with bad advice just because I think it's the right thing. You know, so.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 have so many times come to me when life hasn't made sense. And it says, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your ways. And so sometimes just because we feel it or it looks good doesn't mean it's necessarily from God, does it?
Absolutely. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing.
Amen.
And so that's where a huge part of this article came from. Just because my emotions perceive a situation or my life as one way right now does not mean that that is what is actually going on. I can't trust my emotions to take me through life, or I'm going to be all over the place. So I have to rely on what he already said, because I'm not God. What blindsided me did not surprise him at all. So he knows exactly what I was going to go through before it ever came. So I've got to trust that he's already got me on the other side of it. I just have to get there.
Just tuned in. We're talking with Megan Jordan. She wrote an article that I read recently called When Your Faith is Shaken. And we talked about Mark 15:34 and Jesus, Father, why have you forsaken me? And Zephaniah 3:17, I will quiet you with my love. But talk about the verse that you listed from Romans that you call the promise.
Yes. So I presented this as a promise, a strategy, and how to steward it. So the promise, Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I put a little note here that says that includes yourself.
I love it. Well, and I like to, you're like me when I type out things sometimes, as I'm preparing sermon outlines or when I'm writing things, I'll put something in all caps sometimes in a verse because it really speaks to me. And I love that you put the word anything, because it, you know, I know a lot of times I think, well, maybe this will separate me, but it doesn't say some things or most things. It says there's not anything. And for somebody listening today, they need to know that, that no matter what's going on in their life, there's nothing that can separate them from the love of God, is there?
That's right. Nothing in all creation.
Well, that's a very, very encouraging promise. So that's Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Maybe you need to look those up, write them on a post-it note, stick it in your bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator, the dashboard of your car, at your cubicle at work, in your wallet. I mean, all the places you will see it. So when those feelings start to overtake you and your face starts to be shaken, you can stand on God's promises there in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. You also talked about the strategy. What verse did you base that on?
So the strategy is 2 Corinthians 10:5, which says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So when your emotions are running away with you, that's God gives you the perfect strategy to bring that back under control. Nothing about the word destroy strikes me as something that you should kind of lay back on, relax, take your time with it. No, he says, take it captive, destroy it immediately. Anything that raises itself against the knowledge of him. So if your emotions are raising you to a level of anxiety or fear that is above what God promises you, that's something you got to destroy right away. That speed matters, because the longer that you hold on to it, the more time that has to take root in your heart and just make you just anxious and depressed and all of these things that God never wanted us to feel. We were never supposed to carry that.
Well, that's a great, great reminder. And, you know, I think about David and Goliath, when David obviously killed him with the stones, and yet it went over, and this is not warm fuzzy, but, you know, it's what the Bible says. He went over then and took his sword and cut Goliath's head off to make sure that he was finished. He did destroy him. And so many times when we kind of allow, like you're talking about with words, you know, every once in a while we kind of get that thought. If we don't immediately destroy that, it can easily take root again, can't it?
That's so good. That's exactly right.
So we want to remind you, maybe at 2 Corinthians 10:5, the strategy for when your faith is shaken. And then the third thing you talked about was steward it.
Yes. So there's a reason that we are called to endure hardships. I mean, Christ never promised that our life would be easy. He just, you know, that was never a promise in the Bible.
Yeah, that's huge, though. There's a lot of people thinking, once they accept Jesus, they just did it a couple weeks ago at Easter, and they're thinking, oh, man, it's going to be, you know, la-di-da, happy, sunshiny days all the days of my life. And that's just not true, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, if you think about it in the context of any worthwhile friendship or marriage, it's not necessarily easy all the time. But relationships aren't about easy. They're about closeness, and they're about how can you become closer to someone if you don't endure something together? You know what I mean? You can't be super close with someone that you only experience surface level life experiences with. And I think that that's the same thing with our relationship with God. We have to endure something for longer than 2 seconds to have a full understanding of who he is and his sovereignty. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:4, he who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So he's telling us that the comfort that we take from him, that's not just for us. We have to endure things and use that experience to help someone else that's going to go through that. The victory that we walk in can equip someone else to get through that season that might have taken them down otherwise.
I love that. We're going to expand on that and much more tomorrow, as we're going to continue our conversation with Megan Jordan about practical applications when your faith is shaken. My name's Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Need help with what to get mom for Mother's Day? Let Creations by Karen help you make mom feel special with a beautiful arrangement of flowers or a plant. Creations by Karen is locally owned for over 20 years and also offers candy, balloons, and other creative options to let mom know she is loved. Place your order for Mother's Day today at creationsbykaren.net. That's Creations with a K by Karen.net. Or call them at 859-277-6166. That's 859-277-6166.